It's Andrea Cunliffe here from Hudson Mohawk Magazine. With me is Mark Dunley, producer extraordinaire with Hudson Mohawk Magazine. You're also a peace and climate activist.
Well, thank you for having us on, Andrea.
So I know that you've been active in peace and climate and also a few other things like social justice and political things, but focusing on peace and climate, what influenced you to devote so much time and energy to such?
John Paul Sartre, existentialist, says that life is absurd, but the way you give meaning to life's absurdity is to do things for people. And so certainly, you know, I always want to, when my children or grandchildren ask me, what did you do about nuclear war? What did you do about climate change? I want to say I tried to make it a better place. But I will say about 10 years ago, I really came to the conclusion that we were losing the fight to prevent climate collapse. And I felt that some of the skills I picked up over, you know, 30, 40 years on anti-poverty work, community organizing, peace movement would be better devoted at this point to, you know, trying to save a planet for future generations.
It's a big battle. Last year, with 2021, it was filled with all sorts of events. As far as peace and as far as the climate goes, I don't know. I think in some ways they react with one another. But what would you say are the most significant negative events that happened during 2021?
Well, COP26, the global meeting of the world's leaders to deal with climate, was an absolute disaster. You know, it failed to respond to the International Governmental Panel on Climate Change, saying that the planet was in code red, that if we didn't, you know, stop what we were doing in terms of greenhouse gas emissions, we would burn through our remaining carbon budget in 7 years and be unable to keep climate change below the tipping point of 1.5 degrees. I will have to say that we've not seen a lot of progress at the state level or the federal level on really taking climate action. On peace, we haven't gone to war, but, you know, once again, Congress has approved the greatest, largest military budget ever. And, you know, I was going to say the good news in this year is, of course, that Trump and then Cuomo were replaced. But the reality is that Biden is as hawkish, if not more hawkish, than Trump. Even though we were finally out of Afghanistan after 20 years, the drone attacks on civilians occur, and he continues to ratchet up the Cold War with both Russia and China. And those who look at the threat of nuclear annihilation believe we're as close as ever to the doomsday moment.
Were there anything that you could say is positive regarding peace or the environment from 2021?
Well, we haven't gone to war, so I said that, you know, sort of positive. I had hoped to see a little bit more movement from Biden in terms of, you know, going back to where Obama was with at least a more neutral approach to Cuba. You know, that's not occurred. And basically, Biden continues the Trump war with Venezuela. So to be honest, I can't really think of a lot of good things. There were certainly some mixed things with like the Black Lives Matters movement and racial justice with some really, you know, bad decisions as the killings continued of unarmed, you know, people of color. You know, at least in Georgia, there was an okay decision, but Rittenhouse, you know, shooting, murdering two people, you know, in Minnesota, you know, that's, you know, quite depressing. I guess in Albany, they finally, after, 15 years, gave a little bit more power to the Albany Police Civilian Review Board. You know, I guess that's a little bit of a positive step. There's a lot more lip service to, you know, at least with the Democrats about taking climate change. But we've gone from climate deniers to climate evaders. And the reality is Biden failed to take a lot of executive actions that he could do without the need for congressional approval. And in fact, he has given out more leases for gas and oil on federal land than even Trump did. And that was one of his most explicit promises, that he would halt that practice. And he's done exactly the opposite.
I think one thing that we need to keep in mind is that when there is climate change, as dramatic as it's been and will be, that that really has a massive effect on whether or not we have peace.
Well, I mean, the military, even under Reagan, you know, began to say that climate change was the greatest threat to national security, more than the so-called terrorists, because we're talking about, you know, tens of millions of people already are climate refugees, and now will just continue. And when countries and people are desperate to find access to clean water, access to land, access to food, you know, that leads to a lot more conflict potential, you know, especially in the less powerful countries where civilian unrest can, you know, more quickly, you know, topple government. So, yes. And of course, you know, when you know, literally there are scientists now who talk that, you know, the extinction of the human species is, you know, is a possibility. Probably not likely yet, but certainly the collapse of human civilization as we know it, you know, has a fairly good chance. Climate is by far the greatest existential threat to humanity, and our elected officials and frankly the general public have not yet grasped or acted on that concern.
Well, what do you think is going to happen, let's say 2022? Do you think that that's going to be a year that there'll be some positive things, or maybe not?
To be honest, there's not a lot of ground for optimism. I mean, the only thing on climate is that young people are, you know, being more vocal, saying, listen, you guys are not leaving us a planet that we can survive upon. We're nervous about having children. Yet, as I said, in COP26, you know, they didn't do anything. Obviously, one of the things I'd be very worried about is that while the Democrats, as usual, have failed to take action at the federal level, while they control both houses narrowly and the White House, you know, there's a very good chance that in the midterm congressional elections, the Democrats will lose one, if not both houses. We have a very weak president at this point. And I'm really worried that the rhetoric that's going to go around the midterm elections is going to be, you know, quite distressing. One concern was the Democrats generally, and I'm agreeing, so, you know, but, you know, Democrats a little bit more liberal. You know, the Democrats did really bad nationwide in the recent election. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of people were so relieved that Trump was out of office that they went back to sleep, whereas the Trump supporters were enraged, we would say, based on false information. But they turned out very heavily and campaigned very heavily. If the, you know, those who lean towards a Democrat act in the same way, you know, that's a recipe for disaster in the midterm elections. And of course, we need more voices. You know, we don't, the Democrats and Republicans, the public says that they do not represent their viewpoints, but we don't have the political will to change the system. And the United States is the only democracy in the world that only has two major political parties. And it's one of the reasons why the United States has shifted so far to the right and so polarized.
Well, we only have a couple of minutes left, so my sort of parting question to you would be, what do you think we can do? How can we change this? How can we become more physically or personally or politically active to make some of the changes that are vital?
People have to speak up, and I know that people have a lot of challenges in their own daily lives, but when we're at the point when the future of human civilization and future humanity is literally at risk, this is not the moment when one cannot focus on the issue of climate. We cannot continue to accept lip service. It is not adequate for elected officials to say climate is real. We must do something. They must act to stop greenhouse gas emissions. We mean stopping the use of fossil fuels. And we have to rebuild, you know, a different world, but it has to be a different world, not only on climate, but on racial and economic justice and stopping the oppression of women and people with different genders or sexual orientation. This is possible. We can create a win-win situation, but we cannot allow the billionaires and the hedge funds and their board politicians to be making these decisions. Happy New Year.
Well, is there something else you'd like to say that we haven't touched upon?
I think we're out of time, Andrea.
I think we are. Thank you so much, Mark. I really appreciate your time. Thank you.
Bye-bye.